Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the third episode of Tricks and Picks. I don't think I could have possibly asked for more to talk about today. It sounds cliche at this point, but this was the best weekend probably in the history of football that we've had. I had money in all the games. I lost on... Well, almost all of them, other than the Bengals-Titans, which was a good one. But I will have to say, I did enjoy... The funny thing about the Bengals-Titans game is that I've never seen a team... Never in my life have I seen a team win off of a penalty before. Because that's effectively what happened. First of all, not only did it happen in that two-point conversion when the Titans ended up going for two instead of going for one after the penalty, but... They also, earlier in the game in the first quarter, they were third and 14, I think, and they had a penalty, and it would have been fourth down, but they redid third down because of the penalty, and it got them closer, and it made an easier field goal. So I've never seen a team's penalties work in their advantage like that. Like, I'm going to give the Bengals some credit, but, you know, a lot of luck was involved in that, too. Like, if not for that penalty, if not for the penalty on the extra point, it's not even like the Titans might have won. It's actually probable that they win, because in that last drive, they're up seven, they're up by one. There's no way they're putting the ball in the air like that when they're up by one. There is no way they're doing that. And there's no, like, I just don't believe the Titans lose that. But I love when all the people are like, I'm never betting on Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs again. Like, okay, was this not predictable? Like, Ryan Tannehill, he's not Peyton Manning. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not like, he's a pretty mediocre quarterback. Hasn't made the playoffs until 2 years ago. Went through his whole career on the Dolphins, never made the playoffs once. This was a pretty predictable thing to happen. Not to mention Derrick Henry, he hardly showed up. He wasn't even the leading rusher. It should have been obvious ahead of it. You should have been able to see this. I mean, Derrick Henry hasn't played in like 2 months. It's not that difficult. It wouldn't have been that hard to predict. If he hasn't played in 2 months, it's not exactly a surprise he's going to come up short. But, you know, that's a great analytics move by Mike Vrabel. I mean, that strategizing just killed him. I was happy about it. Nine sacks and Titans lose. Yeah. You got to put it on Tannehill. I'm just saying, I don't see how this wasn't predictable. I mean, Tannehill is not a world-class quarterback. It would be like saying if Jimmy Garoppolo lost or if Mark Sanchez lost and you said, I'm never betting on them again. It's like, okay, that's pretty obvious. Foreman actually led the team in rushing that game. But Henry, I mean, first of all, obviously he wasn't healthy. I didn't have to see him play, by the way, to tell you that he wasn't healthy. To me, it was just common sense that he wasn't healthy, that they just happened to bring him back now because for the first game of the playoffs, like after being out for 2 months. Like, that's not a coincidence. If this was a regular season game, he would not have come back. All it needed was a little bit of common sense to figure out that Derrick Henry wasn't healthy. It wasn't very difficult to predict. Titans are frauds. You know, the Titans, I think this year were kind of like the Hawks were in 2015. Like, they were the number one seed, but they were not really going to, like, they were number one seed, really good regular season team, but they weren't expected to go anywhere. That's kind of what the Titans were this year, it seemed like. Rodgers versus Garoppolo. Rodgers came up short, really short. I will have to say, I've never seen a team lose. Not saying Rodgers isn't partly to blame, but I've never seen a team lose in a playoff game like this off of their special teams. I've never seen that happen before. Just off of a muffed punt and earlier in the game, a blocked field goal. I mean, Rodgers came up short, but he also got really, really unlucky. I hear like all these, you hear all of these arguments about like Rodgers and how he's like Dan Marino. No, he's not like Dan Marino. First of all, Rodgers is the only quarterback who can be criticized for only winning a single, for only winning one Super Bowl. That's just silly. For only winning one Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was called a choker for a very, very long time until he won that second Super Bowl, which he had almost nothing to do with anyway. Peyton Manning had almost nothing to do with that. Peyton Manning was called that for a really long time. And, you know, it just goes to show you it's very hard to go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, it just goes to show you how good Aaron Rodgers is, the fact that he is willing, that people are criticizing him so much for only winning one Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying, I think the criticism, some of the criticisms are fair if you compare him to, say, somebody like Brady, who is a winner more so than Rodgers is. But some of this, it's like, okay, so you're going to tell me that because he's only won one Super Bowl, that is somehow detrimental to his legacy? You don't say that about Breeze. You don't say that about Favre. Don't compare him to Marino. I mean, Rodgers has way more playoff success than Marino did and hasn't played as long. I mean, he has more playoff wins. And has won a Super Bowl. And don't say, well, if he hadn't won the Super Bowl, well, who cares? He won the Super Bowl. He has won. So what's the difference? I don't know. That makes no sense. And he does have some time left. I don't know where he's going to go. You could tell he's unhappy at Green Bay. I don't know. We'll see. But no, it just bothers me when that happens. 49ers defense was great. Rodgers came up short. I mean, the fact that he only targeted one receiver the whole game is pretty bad. Aaron Jones led the team in – Rodgers is getting way too much hate. The loss – yeah, it wasn't. I think he gets the amount of hate that he does partly because of his personality and partly because of how great he is. I mean, the better you are, the more hate you're going to get when you lose. Sometimes people often get carried away with this whole, oh, he choked kind of thing. Like, you know what? First of all, I think you can kind of call anybody a choker by this logic. Second of all, I think that once we get into that territory, it's like, okay, now you're criticizing the guy for making the playoffs too much and losing, which I think gets kind of silly at some point. I mean, he consistently makes the playoffs. Like, it's almost a certainty his team makes the playoffs outside of an injury. And there was one year when he was fully healthy and they were really bad. But for the most part throughout his career, his teams have consistently made the playoffs, like with Brady and with Manning. You can't say that about everybody. You can't say that about Breeze. You can't say that about Drew Brees or Favre or Marino or most other quarterbacks. You can't say that about them. Rodgers was, like very few other quarterbacks, single-handedly was able to lead teams to the playoffs. You can't say that about everybody. I mean, Brees played for 19 years. I don't count his rookie year because he only played one game. But 19 full seasons, and he made the playoffs 10 times. That is like a 53% playoff percentage. That's like a 53% chance. So it does go to show you that Rodgers, and not only that, Rodgers has been able to take teams that otherwise had no business being there, like who, if they had an average quarterback, would have been horrible. So like the hate that Rodgers gets is really, really silly. It's not, there's no perspective in it at all. If you're going to call him a choker, look, I'm a Jet fan. I wish we had a choker as a quarterback. None of our quarterbacks are good enough to be chokers. Like, I don't know. It's just weird to me when people say that, because I wish we had chokers. We're just too bad to have chokers or to be in a situation of choke. We're just too bad. Like I wish we had that. I just want to set for the record right now. I want to set for the record when I said that 13 seconds might be too much for Patrick Mahomes, that was a joke. That was a joke. I was not serious about that. But it turned out that it turned out to be true. It was a joke. The Bills, people are talking, the Bills, well, there's two things I have to get to. The Bills cost me $74 and the overtime rules. The overtime rules in the NFL do need to change, and I'm not the first person to say this. The NFL overtime rules are basically like if in baseball they said the first team to score a run wins the game, And, you know, if and like the play better defense Twitter, it would be like saying, oh, well, if your pitching's not good enough, well, that's too bad because that's just a part of the game. It's like, okay, it has to be a part of the game for both teams, not just one of them. Like, you can't just because one of them happened to win a coin toss. I mean, there's no other overtime system that is like this. And especially when the NFL over the years has consistently created rules. I can understand it 30, 40 years ago, maybe, but when the NFL creates rules that actively, that purposefully favor the offense over the defense, and then say, and to the point where quarterbacks are almost solely credited or get the blame when their team wins or loses, I don't see how you can then say, okay, now you just have to play better defense when we make the rules that make it better for the offense on purpose. Like, that just makes no sense. They should have been changed after. They should have been changed a long time ago. I mean, it wasn't good enough. And by the way, my baseball analogy, depending on the pitching or how good the quarterback is, depending on the situation, you can make the argument, or at least in certain circumstances, scoring a touchdown in football can be easier than scoring a run in baseball, like depending on your quarterbacks and the pitching or whatever, all different factors. So I don't understand how those two things would be any different. And the coin toss has won them the game. But also, I will have to say, the 13 seconds, you couldn't bleed 13 seconds. Why? Okay, Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier should both be fired. Like, they shouldn't have been allowed on the plane. They're terrible. Okay. McDermott decided that it was a good idea to kick the ball into the end zone. Like, why? You're not taking any time off the clock. They should have squibbed it. That would at least take, maybe get it to like 8 seconds. Maybe it would have taken a playoff. Maybe they wouldn't be able to get in the field goal range. Why are you kicking it out of the end zone and putting Mahomes on the 25? Like, why would you want to do that? That's so stupid. And then Leslie Frazier, as if he didn't know what the score was. They're playing the same defense that they were playing before, as if all they had to do was hold them to a field goal and they had to score a touchdown. They were playing like a prevent defense when all they needed was a field goal to tie the game. Why would you do that? That's so stupid. It's as if he didn't know what the score was. Why did they not squib kick? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Why didn't they squib kick? That takes time off the clock. And not only does it take time off the clock, you're a lot more likely to be pinned back further than the 25. Not sure. Yeah. I said I'd fire Frazier. I don't know if I'd fire McDermott. I would fire Frazier. That was really, really stupid. I don't know what they were thinking. Anyway, we'll bring John Gross on. He is the number one broadcaster at UNC Pembroke.
Nick, I think you have to update my job title.
What do you do now?
I don't work there anymore. Used to, back in the day.
Oh,
I'm a freelance broadcaster. I work at a bunch of schools: Clemson, Duke, UNC, Wofford, Winthrop, Gardner Webb, all those places.
Oh, it's even better. You're taking over.
Yeah. So now I just have a monopoly over the Carolinas.
On Carolina sports broadcasting.
No, thanks for having me again, Nick.
Yeah, no. Thanks for coming on. It's all right. Just look at my phone. Hold on a second. So you, I assume, watched all the games.
Not all of them. I did watch the best ones, though.
You watched the best ones, but all of them were the best ones. It could have been.
We're all great. You know, that's true. Every one of them came down to the wire.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Nick, that's the A sweatshirt. Do your listeners know about the A sweatshirt?
They don't know about the A sweatshirt, but it got really unexpectedly hot in here, and I just had to take it off. No, the listeners don't know about the A sweatshirt. Honestly, there's not much to tell. I just got it. I don't know where I got it. It just grew in my room somewhere, the A sweatshirt. So you saw the Bills. You saw the Bills-Chiefs game, right?
I did, yes.
I said as a joke that 13 seconds was too long for Mahomes. I never thought that me telling a joke. I didn't actually think that that was too much time for Mahomes.
No, I mean, who would reasonably think that 13 seconds is three plays, is basically like two plays and a field goal.
Yeah.
Mahomes did it. I mean, I guess if anyone in the NFL is going to pull off something like that, it would be one of two people, Mahomes or Josh Allen. I think Rodgers could do it as well. Yeah. But I mean, you need a big arm to do that. You need some good receivers. And I love the line that Andy Reid said when the time is grim, be the grim reaper. And
that sounds like such a football coach statement.
It is. That's what makes it so awesome, because in any other context, it makes no sense. Imagine you're at work one day and you're like, you complain to your boss and your boss says to you, Nick, when things are grim, be the grim reaper. And you're like, I'm quitting this job. Who are you?
Like, what does that even mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that quote inspired Mahomes or anything like that, but it seems, I mean, like I don't know. I can't get past some of these terrible coaching decisions by Frazier and McDermott. Like, okay, why would you kick it out of the end zone? Like they should have just squibbed it.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that 13 seconds and having to prevent a team from going pretty much like 50 yards in 13 seconds to get to field goal range, I think that's fair to ask of your defense. If you squib it, you're theoretically giving up a decent amount of yardage. If your squib kick takes a hop to one of the up men, they are falling on it at like the 35, 40 yard line. They're probably not going to run it back.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that's certainly, I mean, don't get me wrong, I am not at all saying the special team decisions was worse than the defense not being able to stop them. I'm not saying those two things are anything close. Like, it looked like they didn't know what kind of defense they were trying to play.
Yeah.
Like, it was as if they didn't know the score. They were, like, trying to stop them. It was, like, prevent defense when a field goal ties the game. And they have one of the better kickers, by the way. This guy doesn't miss.
No. I'm with you. I mean, I think a lot of people have talked about the special teams decisions. But again, like I just said, you have to, especially the Bills defense. This isn't a Big 12 defense from 2015. This is the Buffalo Bills defense who they were very good this year. And you expect them to make literally two plays to save the season. Yeah.
They were the highest ranked, I believe. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but they were the highest ranked. I think I said at one point they were the best non-nicknamed defense.
Okay. Well, they might need a nickname.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they've earned a nickname after this performance.
A negative nickname after that.
A negative nickname.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw like a lot of people like talking about Aaron Rodgers and all that, and the weird thing is like, I can't stand sometimes when people just say, well, that's just how he's going to be viewed. And like when people talk about like Super Bowls and things like that, and I just think like, well, I don't know. I don't really care that much what sports fans think, because just because a lot of sports fans think something doesn't mean it makes the most sense. Like, a lot of sports fans think it's worse that LeBron lost in the finals than if he hadn't made the finals. Like, right. Like a lot of sports fans think a lot of really goofy things. So like, I don't really care like what the so-called consensus among fans is about a player's legacy. Like, that doesn't mean it's the most logical or well thought out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that brings up the question, who decides what someone's legacy is? Is there a legacy? Because in my eyes, when you look at most athletes, chances are you will not find an athlete who has a perfect story.
They never do
the best. They've never done anything wrong. I will say in some ways, LeBron is actually fairly close in some ways. But I mean, God, you look at like Michael Jordan, gambling thing. Well, of course, him leaving the Cavs. That's why I say in some ways, I think that he kind of made amends for that. But you look at MJ, he had the whole gambling thing, like the best of the best. There's always something. So I think that it's okay that there's not one set narrative, set legacy. But Rodgers is an interesting person to follow, because I think you have the lack of Super Bowls, number one, and now this whole immunized thing as well, number two. Yeah. which is, has turned some people off to him. It's also turned some people on to him too, I think.
I think it's not just that, just how he's been, just how his personality has been within the past couple of years. Like, he's developed kind of a bad reputation in some ways. Like he doesn't, I mean, this is personal, but like, he doesn't talk to his family, and he doesn't like he doesn't talk to his own family at all. He is known for being kind of like, you know, he complains a lot, and like, he's kind of like that diva wide receiver that you know of. Like, so he's developed kind of that reputation over the past couple of years. But at the end of the day, I also think, like, you know, whether or not a player is well liked has nothing to do with how great they were. Like, you can be hated and be like the best player ever. I mean, like,
look at Barry Bonds. Look at what happened to him.
Barry Bonds is hated,
especially by the voters. Especially by the voters, because he wasn't always the greatest to the media.
Yeah, but like, I can't stand when they do that. It's like, okay, you can say this guy. Like, you don't have to like a guy to be for him to be the greatest. Like, that's like, those two things have nothing to do with each other. You could be a serial killer for all I care. That has nothing to do with how great you were at your sport. Like, that makes no sense. Like, but like, also this whole Super Bowl, like, I can't stand when people say things like, well, he only has one Super Bowl. Like, is it just me, or is he like the only quarterback I've ever heard get criticized for only winning one Super Bowl?
Well, I've heard Marino get criticized for winning none.
Yeah, that's different. No, yeah. People are like, well, if he didn't win that one Super Bowl, but he did.
He did.
Like,
right. Like, that's right. And I think the thing with Rodgers is two things. One, going back to his legacy outside of the football side of things, right? My girlfriend, she's a sports fan, but not like a huge, huge NFL fan. And when she thinks of Aaron Rodgers, she thinks of Jordan Rodgers from The Bachelor. And there was the whole storyline, how Aaron Rodgers was, like you said, not close with his family. I think a lot of people who maybe aren't tuned in 24/7 to sports and don't have the greatest, don't follow it that closely, when they think of Rodgers, that is absolutely one of the first things that comes to mind with him. And number two with Rodgers, you know, I get why people are saying only one Super Bowl, because a quarterback as good as he is, with the quality of teammates that he's had at times, he's had some really good rosters. And he still has come up short. So I get the argument, but I do think that he's one of the best of all time. It's not a question.
I mean, I get the argument a little bit. I mean, I lost my train of thought. Peyton Manning was like called a choker for like the longest time. And then he happened to win a second Super Bowl, which he had almost like he was one of the worst quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl in his second run.
Right. With the Broncos.
Like, it's like, okay, what matters more for Peyton Manning? The fact that he happened to win a second Super Bowl, which they won in spite of him, not because of him. In fact, he was benched earlier in the season for Brock Osweiler, who was so bad. Or the fact that he carried a bunch of teams that otherwise never would have sniffed the playoffs, but only because he happened to win a second Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. Should his legacy have been that much different? Would it have been that much different if he had retired the year before he won the Super Bowl?
Unfortunately, I think so.
Yeah,
maybe. I think that the majority of sports fans, the majority of people who think about these things, they maybe aren't looking at this from a nuanced lens. Right. Like, it's very impressive that he was able to lead his teams to some pretty deep runs. I mean, he had some good, obviously great wide receivers on his Colts teams. But I still think that the rings carry weight, right or wrong. The rings carry weight.
They do. That's a pretty good that's actually a pretty good way to do it. Rings carry a lot of weight. However, I don't think people are, when I say people, I mean sports fans, are fully consistent with that logic. Like, they never say, but like, they're not consistent with it. Like, they don't say something like, you would never hear somebody say Eli Manning is a better all-time quarterback than Aaron Rodgers because he won two Super Bowls, or Joe Flacco is better than Dan Marino. But like, on some level, there's a like,
no. Didn't Jeff Garcia win a Super Bowl too? Was he the Buccaneers quarterback when they won?
Yeah. But like at some point, like, people don't fully actually believe this narrative about Super Bowls. They just kind of apply it selectively and only within a certain, like, they apply it to a degree, but not completely. Because they would say something like, well, the only thing that matters is winning Super Bowls. It's like, yeah, the only thing that matters is winning Super Bowls. But it takes more than a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Right. Like, you can have the best quarterback doesn't always win the Super Bowl, and the best quarterback that sometimes inferior quarterbacks beat superior quarterbacks. That happens all the time. The argument is silly. I mean, I think the context of it matters more. Like the fact that Brady was, Brady's the greatest, not just because he won 7 Super Bowls, but because he was able to, first of all, be arguably one of the 5 best quarterbacks at least for like 20 years. We've never seen that from anybody else. And he was able to leave one team, go to another under a completely different system, and then win the first year he was there. Like, that is a pretty amazing, like, that fact, the context about it is what makes him so great. Wait, this comment. Easy there. Eli beat Rodgers head-to-head. Had the best statistical without – okay, I'm saying he's not better than Rodgers. I'm saying he's an inferior quarterback to Rodgers. I mean, he had a great playoff run. I'm not doubting that, but his career was not better than Rodgers' career, obviously. I mean, Marino – nobody would say Eli's better than Marino either. But, like Rodgers is not Marino. Like, he has way more success than Marino did in the playoffs. And his career is not even fully over yet. But even if Rodgers retired tomorrow – he'd have more playoff success than Marino.
Yeah. Rodgers is the type of guy who, if I woke up tomorrow morning and saw an ESPN notification, Aaron Rodgers announces his retirement, I would not be shocked at all. Now, I think what happened last season, last offseason, I should say, clearly put a strain on him and strained the relationship between him and the Packers to a degree that, like he came out and said a few days ago, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. I only want to be a part of a team that's like actually contending. So if the Packers aren't going to provide him with that, I think he's probably at a point. I think someone commented, I saw a comment come to the screen. You know, he doesn't care what other people think. Like, he doesn't care what other people think about his legacy. I'm sure of it. So if he feels done, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. I don't want to play anywhere else. I'm done. Like, he's the type of guy who would just do it. He's done.
Yeah, you know, I could see him. And by the way, a team would – I could see him retiring, but I could also see him – I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he were to retire, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he just went somewhere else and continued playing and another team signed him. That wouldn't surprise me either. No. And then he would have some type of rift with that team maybe. I don't know. It just – he says he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild, but the truth is if you put Aaron Rodgers on almost any team – there's a good chance they're automatic playoff contenders. Let's put it this way. You know, Roethlisberger retired. Let's say he went to the Steelers. And there were people talking about him going to the Steelers. You put Rodgers on the Steelers. Are they a rebuild team? No, they're like a playoff team. Like, it would be very difficult for Rodgers to go to a team and then have it be a rebuild team.
Yeah, well, especially the Steelers. I mean, God, one of the things that held them back this year was poor quarterback play.
Yeah.
By the way. So if you put Rodgers on that team, they're a very good team.
Yeah. I mean – the Steelers were a playoff team this year. Imagine how good they would have been if they had Rodgers. I mean, like, just Rodgers alone makes it kind of hard for a team to be a rebuild team.
As great as Rodgers is, I don't think he can go to this Jets roster. And
Let's not get crazy here. I said it would be hard, not impossible. I think the Jets, they never fail to amaze me. Did you see the Bengals Titans?
I did not.
You did not. Okay. No. Have you ever seen a team have better penalties, like win a game off of penalties?
Well, the Bengals, again, I didn't see it, but from what I've heard, they got lucky in situations. They were gifted things from the Titans. And there was something – how many times was Joe Burrow sacked? It was like the most times a quarterback has ever been – 9 times. And the most times a quarterback has ever been sacked and but still won a playoff game. In order for that to happen, you need to be gifted plenty of opportunities by your opposition. And the Titans, it was like Christmas a month later. They were just giving out gifts left and right.
I mean, I was happy because I had the Bengals. But, like, it was just, like, if not for those two penalties – well, one of those penalties, I feel like there's no way the Titans win that. I mean, there's no way the Bengals win that. Because the Titans would have been up 17-16 at the last drive. So there's very little – I highly doubt they would have been trying to win. They wouldn't have been trying to win, in other words. They wouldn't have been putting the ball in the air.
And how about Joe Burrow too? Like, just, I know people have harped on his story so many times. Everybody knows it, but it truly is like amazing. This guy goes to Ohio State. He's an Ohio guy. Doesn't stick there. He's buried in a very talented depth chart. Goes to LSU as an average season. Then becomes amazing. And now he's back in a state that he loves. And he just led the Bengals to playoff wins. I think last time I was on, I said that no one had ever sent a text before that said the Bengals won a playoff game. Since then, he's done it twice. This guy's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, don't forget, Aaron Rodgers had to go to junior college before he went to Cal. And he was, he was denied a bunch of scholarships and all that. Like, that happened. It does happen with a lot of quarterbacks.
Josh Allen,
and he went to Wyoming. Nobody even heard of him.
Tom Brady, the GOAT, was he was fine at Michigan.
He was sent the first sex. Harambe.
Was that at the Cincinnati Zoo?
Yeah.
It was, right, yeah.
It was Cincinnati Zoo. Ever since
Harambe left this earth, the world has really gone downhill.
I don't know. Harambe was keeping it all together.
I know. Our guy.
But the Bengals have been a lot better since Harambe.
That's true. You know, it's you can't have everything. If you're in Cincinnati, you can have the world really find itself in a crummy situation, or the Bengals be good, or vice versa. <the other.
laughs> Yeah, I don't know. The Bengals, I mean, not only do you have to have a really – not only do you have to be lucky for your quarterback to be sacked 9 times and still win, you also have to have a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have that too. And, like, it's very difficult for most quarterbacks to overcome something like that. The one game we haven't talked about yet was the Rams-Bucks. I hope you saw that one.
I did.
Okay. You know, I will have to say it's nice to see Stafford win a little. Like, I've always thought Stafford was better than he got credit for. He was just on really bad teams. And he was good at, like, he was never like Peyton Manning talented or anything like that. But he was a very good quarterback. Was just on really terrible teams. And it's just nice to see that change a little bit, you know?
Yeah, of course. Seems like a great guy. He played in the most miserable of situations. In Detroit,
in one of the most miserable sports cities.
Absolutely, that all that franchise does is lose. Gosh, talk about the Bengals never sending a text to win a playoff game. The Lions haven't. No one's ever sent a text about anything that the Lions have done. so at least the Bengals have that going for them now. Yeah, I mean, he's in a good situation. He has really good players around him, and Cooper Kupp is like unbelievable. And Stafford is a great quarterback who now has multiple really good wide receivers.
Yeah, like if he had this all along, he would have had a much more storied, or I would say accomplished, career had he had these tools all along. Mm-hmm. Great. Unless Super Bowl is news, rhyme the same. I don't know if he's going to win the Super Bowl or not, but whether or not he wins the Super Bowl, I think if he goes to the Super Bowl, that does a lot for him.
And let's just hope the Rams have a better offensive performance this time around if they make it than last time. That was pathetic.
Yeah.
But they scored 3 points or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the worst Super Bowl of my lifetime.
Was Ephraim at your house for that?
He was not. He was not. No, we were in college at the time.
Yeah.
We were away, and I remember Brady – yeah, that was horrible. That house, that game, that was like a horrible Super Bowl.
The only exciting part of that Super Bowl was the over-under for the national anthem. It was very close, I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Did it go over or did it go under?
I don't remember. I didn't bet on it, but I was in my fraternity house and like 40 guys in the house bet on it. They were freaking out. It was wild.
Freaking out.
Going crazy. Stay a little longer. Keep going. Hold your nose.
Like they're saying, like, brave, and they're like, come on, keep it going. Keep the A.
Gotta emphasize the A. Right, that was it. And after that, it was all downhill.
Like, enunciate more. Yeah, that's a very, that's like a very Vegas thing.
It is.
But Yeah, I mean, that game could have gone the other way. I mean, Todd, I mean, imagine if we saw Todd Bowles win two Super Bowls.
Todd Bowles.
It's bad enough you won one Super Bowl.
Yep. He is, you know, if he's ever in a situation where, as we know, if he needs to win the game, he's going to go, he's going to punt it.
He's going to punt.
He does.
That's why he does defense.
Right, right. Don't let him in charge of offense. Don't let him in charge of special teams. Don't let him be head coach ever again.
Yeah, he was pretty, I mean, I don't know, maybe not as bad as Gase or whatever, but I don't know. It was, it's just strange to see Todd Bowles on the sidelines in like a huge, crazy playoff game. It's a weird type of thing to see.
But evidently, he's a phenomenal defensive mind.
Yeah, evidently. Well, he didn't do great. It wasn't great when he had Cooper Kupp in single coverage.
No. What the heck was he doing? What was that? I mean, that, how do you let somebody get over the top of your defense? That's literally the one thing you cannot allow.
It's the one thing that you have to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only thing. And I know, like, the Rams almost blew it, but, like, it was totally not really on Stafford. It was like a bad snap and a drop and a whole bunch of stuff that just it could have ended really badly for the Rams.
Yeah. But
you know, like I said, it's nice to see a guy who throughout his whole career hasn't had any of the support finally have the support.
Absolutely.
Have the tools to win.
And I think that goes back to what we were talking about before, the whole legacy discussion. Let's say that Matt Stafford never gets on a good team. Like, there are plenty of people who would look at him and say, yeah, his numbers are phenomenal, but he didn't have any success.
Yeah.
That's not a fair thing to say. So yeah,
it's not always fair when they do that. It's really not.
You put it very well. Context. It all has to be in context.
It all involves context, especially when you compare players from different eras. Like, how do you compare Joe Montana to like Rodgers or something, or Brady? Like, it's very hard to do because like the game has changed so much to the point where it's like, if you look at the numbers of quarterbacks from the 80s and 90s compared to quarterbacks today, their numbers are way, way worse. But it wouldn't be fair to look at their numbers and say they're worse than the quarterbacks today, because the game was just different. I mean, quarterbacks rarely threw for 300 yards at the time. Like, that wasn't a regular thing. Now guys average 300 yards a game all the time. Like, it's a very common thing. Like, you can't compare those numbers like that. And you're comparing like different competition in different eras against different, different levels of quarterbacks on the other team. Like, there's so much to go into it that it just bothers me when people say, well, you know, when people compare the best quarterbacks and then only make it about Super Bowls, especially considering the fact they're not even on the field half the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the ultimate team sport. And I think that when you look at things at an individual level, you have to keep that. You have to keep that in the back of your mind that it's a team sport.
Yeah, it's a team sport. And like I said before, like, it's just, it changes a lot. The game changes a lot. And by the way, I don't think that you have to have, in my opinion, at least, I don't think you have to have a lot of playoff success to be a solid quarterback, like to be good or very good. Like, I would say to be great, like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady level, okay, yeah, you have to have playoff success. But, you know, Romo was a pretty solid quarterback. Like, I would take him on my team. Like, he didn't have that much success, but it doesn't mean he was bad. Like, same thing in basketball. Allen Iverson never won a ring, but nobody says he was bad because he didn't win a ring.
Right.
But, like, it's just, I don't know. It's the same kind of logic. So, anyway, we're going to pick, you want to pick the games for next week?
Let's do it. Let me get it up on my phone here. And
okay, you can just do the ESPN app for the spreads.
ESPN app. You know, I think last time I was on, and again, I
did better than I did.
I did, and I would like to state once again that I don't know anything about this stuff. So if you're going to listen to my pitch, I'm going to do the opposite.
Doing math. That's all it is.
Yeah. I got lucky last time.
Football, you can understand picks. It's not that difficult. So the Chiefs are giving. You can go first.
Still, I'm struggling. Chiefs minus seven. You go ahead. I'm struggling to.
Okay, Chiefs minus seven. I'm taking the Chiefs. I think the Bengals have had their run, and I think it's over at this point. Like, I think they've had their run, and that's it. I would take the Chiefs minus seven.
I agree. As much as it pains me to say, because I would love to see Jackson Mahomes go home, and I would love to not see him again for the rest of this playoffs, but I think they'll be in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah. And just the way they were able to score, like, it was pretty amazing. Like, just the way they were able to – very high-scoring team. I think they're much better than Cincinnati. But I don't know who's more hated – Patrick Mahomes' fiance or his brother?
Oh, his brother. I think his brother.
You think so? He didn't spray champagne on all the fans.
I saw that. You know what? Like, if I was a fan, I wouldn't really mind that much.
I wouldn't really care either. I didn't think.
I don't see why that was that big of a deal. Like, there are worse things that can happen.
Especially when you're in the mood that when you just won.
Won, like, the craziest football game of all time.
Like, do you think people are like, oh, my God, this is terrible? Like, I don't know. I didn't think
this ruined my night. You know, I was just at the greatest game ever. But 20 years from now, when I look back at this, I'm still going to be angry because Patrick Mahomes' fiance sprayed some champagne on me.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Who cares?
Like, I don't know. No. They're just both not very well liked. I don't know. I think we should make a poll.
I think that the icing in the cake was Jackson Mahomes doing a TikTok dance on Sean Taylor's commemorative spray painted number.
Which, to be fair, I think was careless, though I don't think he did it on purpose.
Oh, there was no malintent for sure.
Yeah, obviously. No. It just looked bad when he did it.
Absolutely. And it just goes with everything else this guy has done. He just seems – I don't know the guy. Jackson, listen, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. I'd love to meet you one day. Maybe we can mend bridges. But you just seem a little obnoxious. That's it.
Yeah. And – okay, so the next game is the Niners and Rams. The Rams are only giving 3.5. I mean, I feel bad. I feel stupid taking the Rams partly because it's the exact same thing I said the last two games. So it's like they already fooled me twice.
I think the Rams – I don't think 3.5 is a lot at all.
It's not a lot, but I'm just saying it – I mean, I would still take the Rams. I think it's their year to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's their. I think the Rams are going to win and they're going to cover. 3.5 is nothing.
I mean, even if the Rams play a bad game, that's fair. But even if the Rams play a bad game and they win by 4, that covers the spread. So there's still a really good chance it works out that way.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the Rams are better than 3.5 points, better than the Niners.
I completely agree. And that'll be a pretty fun game just because it's California versus California. 0-2 for San Francisco this season. I don't put much stock at all at in the regular season. And I also think that momentum is a very real thing. They, as we saw in the game against the Buccaneers, the ebbs and flows of that. Well, they ended it on the ultimate high note, and I think that they realized we have to really clean some things up. Otherwise, we're not gonna reach our goal. I think this week they're gonna have a great performance.
Yeah, I think so too. Just based on and the Niners really stumbled into victory. I'm not saying they didn't earn it, but they did kind of stumble into it. At least this past game, they stumbled into it. Like I said, I just think that the Rams are a team that has been really high scoring. Let me just double check this for a second. In their last two playoff games. In the last two games in the playoffs, they scored 34 and 30. So that's momentum really on their side. Mm-hmm. And that hurts the Niners a lot more because they won by their defense. Like, you have to remember, they beat the Cowboys and Packers partly because their offenses were basically turned off.
And I think that's probably a different game if the weather is a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, it's
maybe
a lot.
The Packers, I think.
Well, considering, I mean, they played, I mean, the Cowboys, they played indoors, but the Rams, they're playing in L.A. The weather is far more offense-friendly than Lambeau Field.
And if this game turns into any semblance of a shootout, there is no chance that Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been getting a lot of criticism, which I disagree with, I think that the guy, in order to get your team this far, you have to be, I think, somewhat.
You got
to
do something right.
You got to do something right. But I don't think that the 49ers can keep up in any semblance of a shootout.
Yeah, right. Like, I think he deserves credit, but he can't keep up with, like, a 30-point game. Like, there's no way that's happened. Cam Akers over or under 60.5 rushing yards.
I'd say under.
I'd go with over. I would go with over, but I don't trust myself because I don't know. Like, I had Devin Singletary over 90 rushing yards a few weeks ago, and I thought it was going to work. It was like he was on the way there. He's almost there. And then they just stopped running the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah, because they knew that you were close.
They knew who I had.
Hey, Dable, Nick DiMartino is like 5 rushing yards away from having his best. Can you please not run the ball anymore?
Then they just shut the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go. I think I would go with over. I would probably go with over, but that's just because I tend to bet overs.
Yeah, I feel
like it's just easier to root for something to happen on the TV. Like, if I see something like, it's just, if I see Cam Akers go for like a big, go for a big run, knowing that it benefits my bet, that feels a lot better than like, please, please, please don't give the ball to Cam Akers.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of like a psychological thing.
I'm with you. It's easier to root for the over, I think, than because with the under, you're almost like scared. The over, yeah. You're like excited. Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, I actually saw Jimmy Garoppolo playing college.
Where did he go?
Eastern Illinois.
I know.
And they played at Penn State, and Penn State won by a lot. But Tony Romo also went there. So I remember there were a bunch of comparisons going into that game between Romo and Garoppolo.
Garoppolo is one of those players that we never heard of. And like, I never heard of him until like he went to the Patriots.
Yeah, he's unless your team played Eastern Illinois or you follow FCS football, until the draft time, you probably didn't hear much about Garoppolo.
No, he wasn't. No, like I said, he kind of like how Sanchez, he's kind of like Sanchez was, sort of. Like he did something right.
Oh, in terms of getting his team far.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he's better than,
He's better than Sanchez, too. Yes, I'm just drawing a comparison. Agree with that,
yes.
I think he's better than Sanchez, but yeah. It's just I just think it's a fair comparison.
I don't know if you saw. Did you see? Did you ever watch Last Chance U?
No.
Okay. Well, the head coach of Independence Community College, who's this absolute character named Jason Brown, went on Twitter and went in a rant against some people on ESPN who were criticizing Jimmy G. He was kind of saying what we're saying. In order to get your team this far, like, you have to do something right. You have to be a pretty, somewhat solid quarterback. But this weekend will be the ultimate test because he's going to need to actually play legitimately well. He can't rely on a block punt, can't rely fully on his defense.
Who's more likely to score a touchdown, Kupp or Debo? Debo. Yeah. Because Debo, I mean, first of all, they could double team Kupp. And Debo essentially plays two positions.
Yes.
So I would say Debo.
I agree.
Because then they could target. So I mean, Kupp, they have Odell. They have so many receivers on the Rams. And I bet the betting odds would reflect that too. In fact, I could probably check DraftKings right now and tell you. Hold on. Let me see this.
Yeah, I would say Debo as well.
Let's see.
Pretty confidently, Debo.
Touchdown scorers. Yeah, anytime scorer, Cooper Kupp -150, Debo Samuel -110. So, yes.
Yep.
Cam Akers is +115.
For over 60.5?
No. He's plus
one. Cam Akers touchdown. Okay. Got it.
For anytime score.
Anytime score.
And Elijah Mitchell is +120.
Okay.
I'd say he's probably I don't know if I would bet on Elijah Mitchell, but I'm just saying that's I'm just giving you the odds. And right. Odell is +140.
Odell must be thrilled too.
Yeah.
He's kind of forced his way out of situations he didn't like, and now look where he is.
Mike McDaniels deserves it. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I guess he could take a head coaching job. Maybe the Saints, I don't know. But Sean Payton is definitely coming back to the NFL at some point.
You think so?
Yeah, because he basically said so.
Okay.
Like, if he had said, I'm done, that's it, then I would say maybe he's coming back. But the fact that he said, yeah, I'm not really done, it's like, okay, you're going to come back.
So he'll pull an Urban. Go into broadcasting for a couple years, and then come right back.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So we're going to wrap it up for now. Thanks, John, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Everybody, enjoy the games next week. And thanks for tuning in.
All right. See you, Nick. Yeah. Thanks for having me.